and you started off being the complete lowest of the low, the first job that you had was to simply take the cutting lists, which was the material that you needed to make the tools that that produced the goods, and you pulled the steel bars out of the rack for the size of the things you wanted, cut them to size, and made a pile of them on a cutting list. And then they were given to the gentleman who worked the shaper, which is a machine that finally finished the size. You know, it brought them to an accurate state that the toolmakers could work on them. Then, of course, the toolmakers themselves did whatever they had to do. And so you started off very simply. The next job you did was working a bandsaw, cutting out the shapes that were required and things like that.
So what's a bandsaw?
A bandsaw. It's a saw with a circular blade like this that goes around two wheels. The band is the saw blade is a band, a continuous band. And what you had to do, if you were cutting out a hole in a piece of steel plate, the plate was treated with copper sulfate solution, so it looked like copper. And then the lines that you had to cut were scratched on it. Normally they drilled the holes in, if you like, that conform to the corners of the shape or whatever. And there were lines drawn in the copper. And you had to cut them out. And you cut them out as close as you could to the line, but which meant the minimum amount of work for the toolmaker to do when he had to, you know, machine them, finish to a finished size. And of course, when you're 14, you have a good eyesight, and with a bit of care and attention, you can actually cut things to very close indeed. Sort of, if you could cut half the line out, the toolmaker was delighted.
You're helping him.
Of course, some of them didn't realise that their eyesight wasn't as keen as 14-year-olds. And they'd say, oh, isn't that good? Yeah. And so you started getting
noticed
of things like that. Then you went to work on a machine called the surface grinder, which was a very necessary piece of kit. And what a surface grinder does, it has a grinding wheel and a table that passes to and fro underneath it. And then you can actually grind things to a very precise size. And of course, it took a little while to master that. It sounds very simple, but there are all sorts of wrinkles, of course. And so on and so forth, through all the processes you could think of. And of course, you learn how to measure things and understand what precision engineering meant. So after about 3 years, I think I was probably 16 and a half, 17, and you were, if your face fitted, you went into the drawing office for a while, so that you understand what drawings are all about, and all the detailed work that goes on in tool making. You worked from 8 till 6. You did a 40-hour week, and you had 2 weeks holiday. It was a bit of luck. I can, because I was tempted to go to De Havilland's in there, but De Havilland's were paying, about 22 shillings a week, and it didn't cover the bus fares. Several of my friends went to De Havilland's one way or another, but for me it was quite a long journey. It averaged every day, and I would probably have cycled. I got slightly more pay, and it was much closer to home, and it was a good company, you know, well established company, and so that's where I went. And I think I earned 24 shillings a week, if I remember rightly, when I was 14.
Yes.
And that would have been in 1940. No, we wore brown overcoats, you know, brown jackets and things like that.
And were there goggles that you'd have to wear?
Oh, well, yes. There was all sorts of things that went on there. Of course, in an engineering workshop, you would wear goggles if it was appropriate on any particular operation, but health and safety hadn't been invented then.
That's why I'm asking the question. Yes, I'm quite intrigued. Yes,
you went into every section of life in the tour, including the heat treatment facility. to make steel hard, a high carbon steel hard, you get it to red hot and then plunge it into oil to cool it. And then you have to grind it up again and things like that. But you used, you had a big oven, two or three ovens of different sizes. And to be sure that you'd got it to the right temperature, you had a thing called an optical pyrometer. And you, if you like, you could open a little tiny hole in the oven door, about an inch wide, and you could see it all glowing hot inside. But then you looked at the piece of metal you were hardening, and you adjusted a screw, and there's a little tiny loop of wire in the instrument. And when it matched exactly the colour of the item inside, you knew you'd got the right temperature. And then you took it out and...
So very much cooking.
Yes,
sure you don't
cook
it.
Yes, it's just like cooking. Only at much higher temperatures. Yes. It's sometimes it was almost white hot, you know. A chap called Charlie Davy, who was responsible for looking after the apprentices and teaching them, because there's probably 40-odd people in the tool room. There were, what, I think about five apprentices at any one time.
And would that be an annual figure of people coming in?
Yes, because some left, some got thrown out, etc. They weren't... terribly tolerant. If you either did it or you were given the whiz. The first job was actually in the stores. There's a tool room store where many of the measuring instruments and the components for doing this sort of work were kept. And of course, on here there is a cutting list and a list of parts.
Yes.
And of course, you would assemble the stuff from the store for a start. Dowels, Allen screws, nuts, case hard, Kendersank head number something screws. You know, you can see that it's all listed here.
So that's on the right hand side of the plan, is all the components, is it?
This is the cutting list, effectively. Yes. It says it has a number which relates to the number on the drawing.
Oh, I see.
And okay. And says what it is. For instance, number 26 is one chunk of mild steel. My MS is mild steel, OHS is oil hardened steel, and it gives the sizes of it: 15/16 times 2 times 3/4.
And so it's a bit like when we put together our furniture nowadays and know from IKEA parts you've got. This is your parts list.
Absolutely.
And your first job would have been in the stores?
In the stores.
Putting together these lists for people?
Well, yes, because not all the lists... The steels were cut out from bars, as I said, and sized, shaped to size, and then ground and things like that.